come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies. And I want to walk with you on a cloudy day in fields where the yellow grass grows knee high. So won't you try? Come away with me and we'll kiss on a mountain top. Come away with me and I'll never stop loving you.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, of course, and we are about to have a conversation with Jan Gunnar. Now, Jan Gunnar was a man who never thought he'd be mayor, became mayor of Reykjavik, Iceland, and is an actor, comedian, anarchist, and ran this campaign for the best party, and they actually as a spoof, as a critique of the political system in the meltdown of their country, and he won. So he's written the memoir, Gunnar, How I Became Mayor of a Large City in Iceland and Changed the World. And Jan, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, well, nice. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And he'll be here tonight, by the way. Let me let you know that now. Jan Gunnar will speak tonight at Red Emma's about the memoir at 7:30 at 30 West North Avenue. It's always great at Red Emma's. You can show yourself, have a cup of coffee.
Very excited to be. I've never been in Baltimore, so I'm very excited to come. And Red Emma's seems to be a very, very interesting place to be.
Well, for you especially, it's a good anarchist coffee house, restaurant, bar, and you can just have your way.
Yeah. And a bookstore.
Yeah. So, a funny aside. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jan. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just wondering, as I'm a big fan of the TV series Wire, I understand they have like a Wire tour that you can do, like a touristy thing. Is that correct?
They do, I think, but I have not know that. But we can take you on that tour ourselves when you get here. It's no problem at all. And as a matter of fact, a friend of yours, who's a dear friend of mine, Clark Peters, who played in The Wire, sends his regards. He's in London.
Oh, thank you. It was a real pleasure. I met him in Iceland.
He speaks very highly of you, but it's very funny.
Oh,
very highly of you.
I speak very highly of him too. Yeah, he's a wonderful man.
So yeah,
really like
this is kind of a very funny story. I mean, it's funny for me because a few years back, I think it was 2011, if I have the year right, my wife will text me in a moment to tell me what it is.
Oh.
We were in Reykjavik.
Okay.
And we went to City Hall. They said, we want to talk to Jan Gunnar. and we couldn't get through. So we're from Baltimore. We have to talk to him, but we never got to you. But you're here now.
Yeah.
So,
was it the lady downstairs that stopped you?
Yeah, I think. Yes.
That's the security we have in City Hall in Reykjavik. The lady downstairs.
I was scared, so I left.
Yeah.
But this campaign you ran for Mayor of Reykjavik, when you created the best party, I was watching the video this morning. My wife just texted me. It was 2012. We were in Reykjavik. 2012.
Okay.
So, when you ran this campaign, this best party. I mean, it really was. You were a comedian. You're an actor. This was almost like a not a whim, but a spoof. A taking on the madness of the political structure. That's what you were doing in the beginning, right?
Yeah. Well, I suppose I ran and I decided to do this for for different reasons and the main reason was that It was right after the financial crisis when all the banks collapsed and people were protesting in the streets and in front of parliament, and it was a lot of anger and confusion in the air, and I just thought, could somebody like me step into this and change this? Because I was afraid where this was all leading to. You know, it was like it was turning into chaos, and also there had been political instability in the city for many, many years, and we had like a new mayor every week, and so I gathered a group of people that I considered to be good people, clever, good people, and the strange thing happened that, and we are what we call ourselves anarcho-surrealists, and we, the anarcho-surrealists, created political stability, and we did the whole term for 4 years, and I was mayor for over 1,460 days.
You counted like somebody, like inmates carry time in jail. I was there for 1,400.
Well, we used to joke around that we were, like when we were asked if we were politicians, and we would say, no, we're not politicians, we're just doing time in politics.
See, that's what I mean. But I mean, but one of the things that was interesting for me to watching what you did in this campaign was, it showed to me in some ways, I mean, here you ran openly as an anarchist. As you read about in your book, sometimes you were dressed in drag and lipstick and did stand up and give speeches and go places that way as well. So you always had this humorous comedic edge to the campaign.
Yes.
While it was also really the biting satire was a serious critique of how the Independent Party and others had run the establishment and all the businesses and destroyed Iceland. It was both, but you did it about with a cutting edge of humor.
Yeah. I don't think you have to be just because you're funny doesn't mean that you cannot be serious. I mean, it's you can combine the two, and the campaign of the best party was a mix of silliness and honesty, and we could be quite direct also. With the costume things, I like to dress up in different costumes for different reasons, but mostly to surprise in a pleasant way, in a nice way, you know, to show up in a meeting with a chimp mask, and and it would be a surprise, and it would lighten up the mood, so to speak. It was even if we were facing grim and difficult problems, we could have a laugh because the mayor showed up with a mask to the meeting. But that didn't mean that I didn't take part in the meeting and help out, you know, just come up with little things to surprise people and lighten the mood a bit, because it's so easy to get depressed. And the financial situation in Reykjavik was very serious at the time. I think Reykjavik could so easily have gone in similar direction as Detroit, for instance. It was a huge task, and the humor and the comedy helped us to sort it out.
I mean, I think you have a quote in the book where you say, only when humor has been universally recognized as a crucial character trait will the inhabitants of the world get along. I mean, so it's a serious piece of how you create peace.
Well, yes. And I mean, people may have different opinions on humor and comedy, and it differs a bit between countries and cultures, and some places it's even looked down on as a sign of even a smile can be a sign of inferior intelligence or something. Like if you smile, you must be stupid. But and if you don't smile, and if you're with thick eyebrows and worry, that means you're intelligent, and that's just completely wrong. Humor is a valuable part of the human intelligence, and in many ways it's one of the things that differs us from other animals. I mean, sheep don't make jokes. I mean, because they're stupid. They're too stupid to laugh. And it's so I guess it's rich in Icelandic culture and tradition to kind of look down on humor. So that was also an extra twist for me to be humorous in that circumstances.
Now, one of the things in the book you call yourself, I find this, and it's really just talk about it a bit, because talk about this for a moment, because I think our childhood plays a great deal into who become as adults, and you talk about yourself as a troll, and you say I am such a virus. I was already a virus when I was a child. I was a virus at school. I'm a virus in politics. I'm a troll among human beings. I'm an anarchist, not because I believe anarchism to be the perfect system, but because the perfect system does not exist.
Yeah. Well, that's how I would say, partially because of fate and in part by decision, as a child growing up, I was considered by many as a sort of a virus, I felt. I didn't feel very welcome, for instance, in school. I was more of a unwanted outsider, and I felt from early age that people would be very relieved to get rid of me somehow. You know, if I would just leave the classroom and I would not be there, I had some problems or some behavioral issues and learning difficulties and but instead of just rejecting society, I wanted to try and find a way to make peace with people, with other people, and with society, and to find something that I could contribute, and that was had a lot to do with comedy and humor, and that was just not considered an asset. You know, it was looked down on, and I had dreams when I was very little. I had dreams of becoming a clown in a circus, and I remember asking my mother about it, and she would just be angry and said, "Stop this nonsense! You're never going to be a clown in a circus." And my teachers would say the same. So, but they were wrong. I became more than a clown. I became the ringmaster.
Ringmaster. So I'm curious. I mean, I know you must have been really shocked when you actually won. Noam Chomsky, as you say in your book, Noam Chomsky The great American philosopher said that you were the greatest, best mayor in the world. So I'm curious, when people like Noam Chomsky say that, what do these 4 years mean? You were the first mayor of Reykjavik, Iceland, in a long time to have a full term. Mm-hmm. You did a full term because you weren't corrupt. You were very straight ahead, and you said what you thought. But what do you think? Uh-huh. What is that legacy? What's the legacy of this anarchist comedian as mayor? What legacy do you think you left?
Well, I it's hard for me to say, and I think it's a bit early to say. But we did a fairly we did a very good job, and the best party is some kind of a new political alternative that works on different values and then from traditional political parties and what is also extraordinary with the best party is that as like a typical protest or typical joke party or a protest party. Unlike most other such initiatives, it didn't dissolve after the elections. We stuck together and we did the job, and we're all still friends. And that's amazing. But what people are quick to mention is that the anarchists created stability, and I think that's a very interesting fact. But what the legacy is going to be, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think when I have time to dig into this and think about it and reflect on my time as mayor, I might come up with some more valuable answers to it. You know, what is the secret ingredient? And maybe I can explain it better, because I think it's important, and I also feel like from many countries in Europe there is this desperate need for an alternative that is not based on negativity, blame, and pure hate and fascism. So, because the best party is a protest party, but it's not negative. It's on the contrary. It's very positive. It's based on humility and humor and cooperation and nonviolent communication. That's very valuable.
One of the things I read in your book, that when you think about what you actually did as mayor, what you talk about here, is you're a deep believer in direct democracy and citizens' democracy, and you created a thing that you wrote about called Betri Reykjavik, where people actually have a direct say in what happens to their community, to their city, by voting and talking about it online. I mean, talk a bit about that. That's pretty fascinating. I mean, any city could do this if they wanted to.
Well, I consider Reykjavik to be of the perfect size of city to experiment with such things as ways of effective direct democracy, and we did also implement participatory budgeting. We had two types of this Better Reykjavik software or web page. It's Better Reykjavik and it's Better Neighborhoods, where people can come up with ideas about new projects or maintenance in their neighborhood, and then they come up with ideas, and then the people can also vote on their own ideas, and we, or the city, then processes these ideas. So we have been experimenting with this, and this is also a means to try and involve younger people with democracy, because their interest in democracy is drastically going down, and the vote is going down, especially with young people. So this was this has been a way, and it's still work in progress. We are always, or it's not we anymore, they now.
Hey, you're no longer mayor. You're no longer mayor.
No, I have to get used to saying they instead of we. But the city is still working on improving it, and now there was a representative from the Pirate Party who got elected into city council in the last elections, and they are very much for direct democracy. So I hope they will take it even further than we have managed to do. So, but it has every potential, and I think it's crucial to find ways to get raise people's awareness, and especially get young people to be more directly involved in democracy. So that's one of the projects I'm very proud of having been a part of.
Well, I think you should be. I mean, I think that it was that. I mean, having spent time in Reykjavik, I mean, they can use comedians. I'm glad you are a comedian. I think there's also a sense there. I remember I passed a bar in Reykjavik. I won't get this exactly right, Jan, but on the outside of the bar it said, I can't use some of the words on radio, but it said, "We don't want racists, homophobes, or general jerks," or whatever it said in our bar. But that was typical of me, of the attitude of many people I met in Reykjavik.
Yo, I mean, it's a very progressive and liberal country, and we also in a way take pride in being open-minded, progressive, and it's also a vital part of our survival, because Iceland is in many consider Iceland to be out in the middle of nowhere, and like ice cap somewhere, so it's vital for us to be welcoming and make effort in making friends I would say hospitality is a big part of the Icelandic culture too. Iceland has been leading in human rights issues. I mean, we were the first to elect a woman president, for instance, the first democratic country in the world to elect a woman as president, and LGBT rights are among the best in the world, and women's rights and so on.
We have to run now, but I want to say, first of all, thank you. I mean, Jan Gunnar will be here tonight in Baltimore. You do not want to miss him. We will welcome him here to our city. Jan Gunnar will be here for his book, How I Became the Mayor of the Large City in Iceland and Changed the World, tonight at 7:30 at Red Emma's bookstore. You can go to redemmas.org for more information, or our website, stanishow.org. But show up 7:30, have a cup of coffee, have a beer, and enjoy the evening. Jan, we look forward
thank
to meeting
you so much.
Thank you so much. We look forward to meeting you tonight.
Yeah, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Drive safe. Travel safe. And that is it for the Mark Steiner Show for today. We're going to go out with Marvin Gaye. Got to Give It Up. It went number one on this day. The great Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up. Got to give up the airwaves right now. Good way to end the show. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns, Alex Boston, Matt Malice, Sienna Greaves, and Sam Saper. Saper, Sapper. We'll find out later, but Saper, I think. If you hear the show again on podcast, any of our shows, fun information about our guests, please visit us on the website at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts on iTunes. So please do that and find out what's going on there. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com. And thanking the Maryland State Education Association for being with us as sponsors for this last 6 months. Always a pleasure to have them with us. For Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Marvin Gaye, take care.